Okay, so let me talk a little bit about coming from my background that I explained. What are some strategies, especially as nonprofit ministries or my experience being a director and not wanting to be the go-to person that people send people to, but wanting to train and equip the education system and the local pastors and the local business leaders to engage in the process and to be a part of that. So really everybody's taking joint ownership. Here are some things that we tried to do. Our mission statement, we educate, equip, mobilize, and to serve our community from a Christ-centered perspective that's culturally relevant in ways that address all the changing issues in the community. One of the things that I found very, very effective, I had been, for a while, I'm the person that I joke about in the sense, and John and Elliot can relate to this, people like to hear me talk in meetings and the pastors get out their notepad and take notes, but no one wants to hang out with me. Y'all know that feeling? Like they're really interested in what you got to say, and you know it's probably going to be used in a sermon in the next month, but they don't necessarily like to answer my phone calls because it just means we're going to be engaging on a little deeper level around this stuff. So, yes. Yes, and I get dodged, or, oh, that's just Susan. You know how she is. She's kind of passionate and crazy, and, you know, she's our radical Jesus friend, and, you know, it's getting better, but we go there. So anyway, one of the things that was really helpful is I had been, part of it was I'm part of the CCDA cohort, and I was bringing friends. I grab anybody I can because Houston's very isolated with the whole CCDA concepts and any biblical concepts of how to do this thing. So I would grab my friends that I know that came into town and say, oh, just ride around with me. I just got to show you our area. Pour into me. Give me some ideas. I need to hear from you about what you would do because I'm at a loss. I mean, all this change is happening so quickly. Everybody wants to either put their head in their sand or run, and we want to get them to engage. So what do I do? And naturally, what started happening is we were giving these tours of the community, and I was part of the base that helped do the research for the community and spending 9 months doing that research. And what I realized is because we had no government system and no structure on the formal side, and of course the chamber's not going to tell you about the local human trafficking and all that kind of stuff, is we were one of the few people that brought the good and the bad together, the need and the assets of the community together, that could share that in a very balanced view. Right? And what is our role in that is Christian. So one thing we developed is a demographic prayer tour of our community. We do an hour and a half prayer tour, and it can be adapted. In other words, if we had a business come to us and they're not necessarily church-based, we can adapt it to be a little more focused for them. But it's very effective for churches and small groups and different church groups, because we do this hour and a half tour. We take five stops, and they're very strategic. They're not necessarily about the exact location, but we stop at apartments and we talk about housing. We talk about housing issues. We talk about low-income housing. We talk about, you know, stuff that basically a lot of people just don't know. We stop at a local social service agency, and that's when I highlight the difference between relief and community development and spell that out. Because the other thing that we're really good about in a lot of circles, particularly in the suburbs, is throwing money at things. But even when we throw money at things, we throw them at the wrong things. Does that make sense? We throw them on the short-term things and not on the long-term developmental things because it feels good and it's the quick fix. So, we stop at a local school. We talk about school partnerships. We talk about the statistics. We talk about the need in the community, what we're doing and how we're building relationships with the board and what our kids are facing in our district, specific to our district. Then we stop at a local mosque, and we talk about different religious and culture groups in the community. And as Christians, what does it mean to engage as a follower of Jesus and build bridges with these other religious groups? I have samples over here at the end of what that prayer tour looks like, the actual prayer tour booklet. And in between those stops, we actually pray over those issues. Here's where you help tie. Remember I told you that theological and social disconnect? It ties together very well on a prayer tour, because you tie those gaps together, and what happens is, by the end of it, my whole balance is, okay, how do I get people, when they get off the bus, to not want to move? You know, to really say, okay, this is what God's called us to. Look at this amazing opportunity. Christ has put us in this neighborhood at this time for this reason, because we are to be his hands and feet. And how exciting is this opportunity? Yeah, scary, a little scary, because it's all out of our comfort zones. But how cool is it that we have a school district that's begging the churches to come and mentor kids? Now, if we don't take up that opportunity as the body of Christ and we're complaining 10 years down the road, shut your mouth. You have no right. You know, so that's the challenge, and you can kind of filter it to your different groups. So that's one amazing tool. Okay, the next is this happened kind of not on accident. We were trying to train people within LifePath congregation to kind of understand this. We've been having this Community Action Network meeting for 2 years, and it's grown from 5 people to an average of 60 from 15 different churches on an average month. Here's what we do. We bring in a speaker. Here's how we tie the gaps. Sometimes from the school district, the homeless liaison, or the head of the social workers, or bring in someone from another ministry. Get this. So we're a CDC, and we'll get to this in a minute. We're modeling what we do and raising up volunteers for our own stuff that we do on the ground, but we're raising up volunteers for other ministries in our community and other people doing stuff. So it's not a territorial thing. It's like, I want to see, because I want to grow the kingdom. I tell pastors all the time, if you're out to grow your church, you'll probably never grow the kingdom. If you're out to grow the kingdom, your church is going to grow, right? So the same mentality stands, and executive directors and nonprofits can be just as territorial. We're all fighting for the same funds and resources. We're all struggling to make it. Times are tough, but we have to have the same mentality as ministries, right? And as nonprofits and people doing the grass level work. So who can you collaborate with, and how can you highlight how God is using them, right? So we have about 30 to 45 minutes of that person talking. And then here's the cool thing. We break out into breakout groups. So say we have a speaker on human trafficking in our area, and we're educating people on human trafficking. We have breakout groups around homelessness, domestic violence, prison ministry, school partnerships, mentoring, you name it, the options are endless. And in those breakout groups, we pray for one another, network, and mobilize and collaborate. Through that network alone, we've raised up. What's happening is people from across we're attracting a various sort of people. A lot of who we're attracting are people sitting in pews or in congregations across the community that want to engage more and don't know how to do it and don't feel like their churches are pressing in as deeply as God's calling them to. And again, not a slam against the church. They're just ready to go a little further. And so we also have homeless guys that lived under the bridge for about 20 years and are other friends that are crack addicts that come in. Because here's the cool thing. We're seeing the redemptiveness. So what we're seeing is this draw of all these different socioeconomic groups and all these cultural backgrounds coming together and say, how can we be the hands and feet of Christ more effectively in our area? And they have a place to go. They have a place to connect. And what's happening is that's just a launching pad for the phone calls that are in the emails that are going back and forth. And, you know, we've hooked up, we've put 3 people into human trafficking shelters through people in our group that have said, I want to rise up and do that. And I want to get trained. And it's just through the networking. It's amazing what God does when the unity in the body of Christ just comes together, because everybody's waiting for that. And so when it does happen, things go pretty quickly. Okay. Another thing that we do is we try to model this. We started an after-school program. We decided to partner with a Title I school. We found out that 400 of those students, approximately one-third of them, here's what I would suggest you do. When you partner with a school, it's not just sending in mentors, whatever. Find out about those families. Get to know the principal. I have lunch, and I'm friends with the principal at the school. We're friends. We call each other. We talk about issues with the kids. And I found out that a fourth of those kids, or a third of those kids, 400 of them, lived in 9 apartment complexes on one stretch, right? So that day, I walked into Elliot's office and said, "Welcome to apartment ministry." And he's like, "What?" And I'm like, "That's where we need to go. If that's where the families are, God miraculously provided an apartment." Here's the cool thing. We use that as a way to connect the families with the school and the churches. In other words, we have 3 major components. We have a praise and worship component, parental involvement, and academic help for the kids. And I can tell you more about that program if you want more details later. But one of the things we do, for the parents' kids to be in the program, they have to volunteer 2 hours a month in the school, right? And I've developed a relationship with the principal enough that she says, okay, for every volunteer you raise up, I'll challenge my teachers to raise up a parent to match with them. So, yes, correct. With the church volunteers. We partnered with another church. It's not just us. We went to another church and said, hey, we need your help. We want to, that's what I call cross-pollinating the body of Christ. So we pulled them alongside. So now in our after-school program, we have many churches working together because it's kind of that neutral ground. We use the community development concepts in the apartments. We don't do a single thing in the schools or in the apartments we're not asked to do. We wait until the community engages us in the next step. We don't go in and say, we are going to do this program, this is how we're going to do it. We build relationships and wait until they come to us. And then when you do those things, like they asked us to do a Winter Wonderland for the kids, then here's the deal. We have a meeting. Everybody has buy-in. Management has a piece to that puzzle. Ownership has a piece to that puzzle. Each church has a piece to that puzzle. And the nonprofit has a piece of the puzzle. The main role of the nonprofit is to help facilitate everybody and make sure that it happens. But we do not, that way, if no one person shows up, it doesn't not happen. Does that make sense? Same, that's my rule of thumb also for volunteering in the schools. We do not go in and create projects for that school. What we do is we go in and we say, how can we serve you? What do you do well? And how can we serve that? That way, if we were to ever walk in or not show, it's not a reflection of us. And that's not buying the easy way out. That's the empowerment piece of saying, we're not coming in saying we know how to do things better than you. What we know how to do is love you and support you and help your visions for your babies and your families to come true. Okay, the other thing that we do, our summer programming, we try to, we have these kids, they're in the apartments, we have this school partnership, and we're trying to connect those pieces together. And what we want to do is make sure in the summer months that we continue to engage. And we've only been at this 2 years, so it's not... I hope what we're showing you is giving you hope of how this can connect and how it can work. But one of the cool things about it is instead of a typical VBS, we got several churches on board and we facilitated it and made it a sports. We did a sports summer camp and partnered with the school principal, and she facilitated getting the information to the family and kids. So all of a sudden you have what was normally traditionally, your typical white suburban churches doing VBS to the same churches that you've been sharing the gospel with for 50 years. And you're actually providing a service for the community that's Christ-centered, and it's not over-evangelizing, for a lack of a better word. It's relationship development that's going to build on each other long-term and for years to come. So that's some ideas just to give you a taste.